Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, welcome back for another solo episode. This week, you're stuck with me alone. But today we're going to talk about grand openings because this has been like a recurring theme lately. Lots of new businesses getting ready to open. I don't see it happening so much during summer, but a lot in the fall. So it just kind of had grand openings on my brain, especially with some of our clients and whatnot. So I thought I'd put together an episode to talk about grand openings. Or maybe it's like a, you know, maybe you had a renovation and you're like doing an unveiling. That kind of works for this too. I will say this is probably more a message for people with like a brick and mortar location. But I think some of this can be applied to digital businesses as well. So if you've got any interest, I mean, listen in and see what you can take away from it, maybe on both sides. So we have kind of a five-step process or five aspects that I look at when we go to plan a grand opening. Now, this is just for PR, okay? So we'll talk a little bit about social at the end, but this is just for PR. So, and again, you know, it's really hard to give blanketed advice via a podcast because you might be doing a grand opening for a med spa or a restaurant or a new doctor's office or a candle shop. Like, there are so many different businesses that this could apply towards. So I'm going to try to give you some examples to like bring it to life for you on projects we've done before. So hopefully that'll apply, you know, across different industries. So the first thing I do is look at our timeline. Hopefully when people call us to do their grand opening, they are not calling us 3 weeks before. Although they do that all the freaking time. But thankfully, we do have some businesses that'll call us 6 to 8 weeks in advance. That's still kind of cutting it too close for our planning purposes. It's not too cutting it too close to make things happen, but it's kind of cutting things close in regards to media. But what I love is when someone comes to us 3 or 4 months in advance and says, hey, we're getting ready to open a new blah, blah, blah. You know, and we've got a good 3 or 4 months to really plan, not only plan things out. Some of this stuff I can plan overnight. But, you know, for the media reasons, that is the biggest one. So let's go ahead and dive in since I'm already teasing out the media thing. So the first thing I look at is timeline because of our first point, media relations. I look at our media relations thing. It's honestly a priority of this because obviously you're going to need media attention to get more people. You want social media, you want all these other things, but like you want media attention to cover this. And you can get that in an editorial way, or you can earn free media if you lay it out correctly. So, but before I even go into this, the biggest thing about media relations for a grand opening or a big announcement like this, I've said this on a past podcast, but so important. Do not spoil your opportunities by putting everything all over social media the moment you know it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you plaster it all over your social media pages, when you go back and try to pitch the media to run a story on this for free, the media is going to be like, nah, thanks. I saw that all over social media. It's old news. And the media does not want to share things that's old news. They won't do it, in fact. So I have clients all the time that they get really excited and they jump the gun and they throw stuff up on social media. And it actually really hurts our ability to earn free media coverage for them. Then they turn around and sometimes we're managing their social, thankfully. So like we don't have that issue, but we do have some clients that we just do their PR and someone on their team handles their social. And we see this happen a lot, even when we tell them not to do it. they still do it. I'm like, I don't understand. It's like these people that, you know, like your friends growing up in elementary school that cannot keep a freaking secret to save their lives. Same thing here. I know you're excited, but don't throw it out on social media, because what I've seen happen, they post it on social media. We try to pitch it to the media. The media says, no, thanks. That's old news. And then the client looks at us like we failed. And they're like, oh, well, we didn't get picked up anywhere. Y'all didn't get us any coverage. Well, yeah, I didn't get you any coverage because you screwed me, you know? And I know they didn't do that intentionally, but it's one of those things like we end up looking bad because they couldn't keep a secret. So before we even dive into media relations, that is, if you take anything from this podcast, for the love of God, take that away. Like, do not throw everything up on social media before you do a media push, or you will screw yourself. Okay. So when we're doing media relations for a grand opening, I usually take a 3-prong approach, especially if I have enough time. If somebody calls me a month in advance, I usually don't have enough time to do this, but this is pie in the sky. Okay. Probably like 3 months out, I send out the first media announcement. And that is I call it a confirmation announcement. That is strictly just confirming that a new concept is coming to the area or a new business is going to be opening. Here's the location. Here's a brief overview of what they're going to offer. And a little bit of the backstory. And then I say, you know, the opening looks to be fall 2023. Okay. Notice how I use the word fall or spring. I do not say this will be open September 18th or September 20th or whatever. I do not give a specific date, but especially if you're dealing with a build out or construction or anything like that, y'all know everything gets delayed, right? So if you put out a very, very specific date out there and it doesn't come to fruition, you actually create a lot more work for yourself, because then you got to go back to all these media outlets and be like, hey, actually, we're not opening September 18th. We're going to be opening October 10th. And then you get in this spiral, and sometimes the media people will update their stories and sometimes they won't. And so lesson is, your first release is a confirmation of concept. So that means, yes, this restaurant is coming to town. We hope, you know, here's a little bit about the concept. Here's the location. Here's when we are hoping to, you know, be open. That's your first media announcement, approximately 3 months out. Then I do a pre-grand opening announcement, especially if we're going to do an event. This usually happens 1 month out from the grand opening event. Now, again, like some people do soft openings and stuff like that, but this would be 1 month out from the actual grand opening celebration, like if you're doing an event or something like that. So 1 month out, I would say, and especially if it's a public event and you want the public to come out for the grand opening, you send out a media release that is, and again, for like brick and mortars, I would do this to like your local and regional media. I would send out a release that shares the details of the event, kind of reconfirms like blah, 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 business is opening and you're invited. The community is invited to this event. Here's what's going to be at the event. Here's what you need to know. For more information, go here. Okay. That's release number two. Then release number three will be post-event. So after you do your big celebration or whatever you do, which we'll talk about in a minute, you take photos at that event. And then you send out, I call it post-event press, where you send it out and confirm like such and such business opened on this day. They had an incredible celebration with, you know, hundreds of attendees or whatever, you know, they did this and that and da, 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 details of the event, you know. And then at the end of the release, I always say like the business hours for the business of they're open this day, this time. You know, for more information, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, and see, you know, or go to their website here. So that's the purpose of the third release. And if you spread those out enough, timing is everything. If you spread those out enough, you can earn coverage on all three. So what I was saying is like some people call us like a month before their grand opening, then I don't have time to spread that out. And you're probably only going to get pre-event and post-event announcement. You know, I won't have time to do that first confirmation one. So again, not all is lost, but you are kind of like missing out on some free press if you don't work far enough in advance. Okay, so that's the first step in our like PR planning, is like looking at the media relations, getting those messages down, and the timing on when to send them. Boom, that's step one. Step two, it's time to think about some activations, okay? So this is kind of going above and beyond. And sometimes we have people that will reach out to us for our grand opening and literally they're just like, can you get us in the newspaper? And I'm like, Or can you get us in the news and maybe we have a ribbon cutting with the chamber or something like that. Like, can we do that? Yeah. But like, there's so many more cool things that we can do that will blow this up if you give us the amount of time and give us some like ability to get creative. Like, I mean, yeah, again, I can get you in the newspaper and I can get the chamber to come out, but like, come on, let's like do this big. If you want to make a splash, like let's get creative. So we love to do activations. And here's a really good example. So we did the grand opening for Ruby Slipper Cafe. If people out there don't know what Ruby Slipper is, it's a breakfast concept based out of New Orleans. And they are all over the Southeast. So you may know Ruby Slipper. Those are in coastal towns, or Ruby Sunshine is a breakfast concept. That's like their sister concepts. Ruby Sunshine is going to be like more of your, interior America. So like I saw one in Knoxville when I was there and places like that. So anyway, I'm obsessed with Ruby Slipper. I always have been. So they were opening a new location in Destin, and they do biscuit making classes, which I thought was so fun. Like, they're very well known for their biscuits. So what we did was we invited a bunch of local influencers, community people, and some local media, and we actually had them out one day before the place opened. Like a couple weeks. And around the bar, we had like little biscuit making stations where they had a little pin and they had their own flour and their own dough ball and all that kind of stuff. And so, oh my God, we had so much fun. So much fun. I think we had like 15 people come, and it's an invite only thing. We had 15 people come, and we had two guys out of their kitchen. These guys were such a hoot. Oh my God. They had the personality to fit that brand. You know, their brand is New Orleans, right? Their brand is fun and casual and, you know, all the things. So, we had two guys from the kitchen come out, and they like talked everybody through it. And it was actually hilarious. They were like dancing and jiving and like, now you're going to beat up your dough. Like, oh my God, everybody had a blast. We also had some of their signature cocktails because, you know, they do really fun mimosas and Bloody Marys and all that kind of stuff. So we had signature cocktails for them to try and some light bites to try. But the main event was like, we made biscuits together. They stuck them in the oven, and while the biscuits were in the oven, everybody got to try, you know, like some of the food and stuff. And then they each got to take home their biscuits. So they boxed them up and they took their biscuits home that night. So that got so much love. The influencers were posting on their stories and in their, you know, on their feed. The media people loved it, and they covered it on some of their social media platforms. And then, of course, we got some good coverage out of it as well, which is never guaranteed. You know, you can't guarantee these media people are going to write something that's unethical, but it helps them bring to life the brand. And when the media people hear like, oh, this, the background of how their whole biscuit, how the story behind their biscuits and the recipe and the story behind the brand, they are so likely in the future when they are running a story on, oh my gosh, family recipes. Hey, I remember at Ruby Slipper, we did the biscuit thing. It keeps you top of mind, right? So anyway, activations is number two. So get creative, okay? What is your thing? If you are, I saw this place in Tampa that's a candle pouring venue. Maybe you invite out 10 media people to pour candles together that day. Or if Bloody Marys are your thing, invite, you know, the media out for a Bloody Mary, you know, build your own Bloody Mary mixer or something like that. Like, it almost becomes like something fun, like a workshop. And I mean, for a restaurant, can you just invite them to come eat? Sure. I mean, that's cool. We do that too. But this is like next level, you know, like this is when people like build a connection with the brand. So that's step two, is like, how can you develop an activation that can be, it can be invite only, or you can invite, you know, whatever. We did another one with the young professionals group in that city, where we invited all their, you know, like young professionals to come out, and we did a happy hour and everything. So get creative. Okay. So that's number two. Number three is influencers. So yes, they can be a part of your activations, or, I mean, we see a lot of success with just using influencers. And a lot of clients say, should I have an influencer come out before the grand opening or after the grand opening? And honestly, like, I think a mixture of the two is good. You know, like, I think it's cool to have some come out and do a sneak peek, like the biscuit making class, or just a sneak peek if they get to try some, you know, like a VIP tasting or something like that. But then I think it's also really good for them to come out right after the opening. So maybe just split it. I think the one thing I've had a challenge on is a lot of clients want us to do an influencer night where all the influencers come at one time and like sit together. And I'll be honest with you, I find that to be like, most people don't want to participate in that. A, it's really hard to nail down a date that they can all come, because you got to think, these influencers, I mean, they're people, they have kids, they have jobs, they have other things going on, they've got family in town. So like finding, usually if you pick it like one date, you're going to have most people that can't come. So I like to give people the flexibility of like, hey, pick a day within the following 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and we'd love to have you out. So the biggest thing is this, is like, think of who your target audience is. And those are the influencers you need. If you're trying to reach moms, you need to be bringing in influencers that are moms and that are women. And, you know, if you are trying to reach older men, maybe you need to be bringing in older men. And, you know, there's like a totally different strategy based on, you know, who your audience is. You know, a lot of men are using Twitter. A lot of men are using YouTube. So like, maybe you find people in those platforms. So, and I'll be honest with you, like, I'm not even, you know, people want these influencers with like a million followers. Like, to me, we see way more response from people that have less than 100,000 followers. I mean, I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to go with somebody probably less than 5,000 or less than 10,000, really. But, you know, we see really good success with micro and macro influencers. And sometimes they'll do it in trade. So you don't have to just, you know, you don't always have to pay them depending on what you're giving them. You know, when we're giving somebody a free hotel stay, we don't usually have to pay them because they're jazzed about getting a free vacation. But if we're just giving them like a free burger and fries, like, you're probably going to have to throw a little money at them to make it worth their time. So, and then again, it depends on how many followers they have and whatnot. So, but find people that fit your target audience. And again, too, like, not only just micro and macro influencers, but especially if you're in a town, like, and you're doing a local grand opening, I think it's very successful to have like community people, like maybe the, I mean, I don't know, every town is so different. Maybe it's the director of the chamber, or maybe it's somebody who's very well known in town, or somebody who's grown up there. We did that for a local beach club opening. We wanted locals to join, so we invited like 10 influencers that were born and raised in the area. Of course, they know everybody, right? They've spent their whole lives there. It popped off so well. They were quote unquote influencers. They're not really influencers. They just know everyone in town. So you can even kind of go that angle too. You know, the biggest thing, and I have a whole other episode on this, so I won't go too far into this little tangent, but you've got to get an agreement in place of, we're going to treat you to this, this, and this. Here's what you're going to give us in return. And you need to dial it out of how many posts, how many stories, tagging, you know, hashtags, what they should use. You know, are they sending you their assets? Are they sending you your stats? You need to be very, very clear on what you're asking these people to do. And also, I'd love to take it a step further with our influencers. So you bring them out, they get a sneak peek, or they come right after your opening and they experience your store. But then after that, I mean, they're going to post and stuff like that, whatever's in your agreement. After that, I think it's so important to give them something that they can give to their audience. So it's like, you know, use code Whitney20 and you get blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, come into the candle shop and, you know, your first pour is buy one, get one free or whatever. Something that they can promote to their audience. I also love giving an influencer a gift card to give away to their people and make it where they have to follow both pages, your page and the influencer's page. Y'all cross post the giveaway. So that helps the influencer because they get visibility too from your followers. Helps you because you get more followers. It's just a great, easy giveaway to do. So that's point number three is influencers. Step number four is friends and family. I love to do this like an exclusive night. And this is, again, great for restaurants. We work a lot in the hospitality industry, but we've done other stuff too. But I think a friends and family night is very good. It helps your team get in the swing of thing and feel comfortable having customers or guests in your store or in your restaurant. And just remember, like, every friends and family is different. I did one that we made people sign up for a time slot. You know, like you can make them, especially if it's a restaurant, you can make them make reservations where they have to sign up in the time slot. And once the time slots are full, like it's full, you know, so that way you don't just have an influx of people coming in. I've also done one for a restaurant where they didn't get to pick whatever they wanted on the menu. Like every table, we brought out five dishes or four dishes, depending on how many people were at the table. And we brought shareable plates and they all got to share everything that was on those plates. So that helped the kitchen learn all the different dishes. You know, so the kitchen was making, you know, everything on the menu and we were just bringing it out and letting people try different things. Or you can do it the traditional way where the servers take the order. That's good practice for them. It's good practice for the kitchen. Like, and the expo, I have a strong background in the restaurant world, so this is very real to me. But a friends and family night can be across the board, even for like a med spa or something like that, a private sneak peek where they get to experience something complimentary. Or maybe you have a very, very special deal, like at a med spa, you could do a very special deal on Botox or some of your products or things like that. But friends and family, I would say make it exclusive, make it invite only. I think you got an opportunity to integrate a charity component always. So people come out, you know, to your restaurant and, you know, all the tips go to, you know, feed the children of America or whatever the nonprofit that you want to align with. So I think that's great because then Feed the Children or whatever charity you pick, they're going to promote that to their people. So that's great exposure for the business promoting through their people. So friends and family is like the fourth component. And then number five is obviously your grand opening. You want to do a celebration. You want to do a party. You want to do maybe, and sometimes it doesn't have to be a party. Maybe it's all 1 week. 1 week you have some kind of special offer or something that's going on. And so it's your grand opening all week. You could do it that way. It totally just depends on your space. If you got a little tiny space, obviously I probably wouldn't like do one big party or something like that, but some kind of grand opening celebration. You know, for a lot of restaurants, we'll do a ribbon cutting in front and we'll get that photo for post press and then invite everybody in and give everybody two free drink tickets. And we'll have like some light apps for people to try, something like that. I mean, every single grand opening we've done has been so, so different. Again, some of them are week-long celebrations where for the first week, you know, every day is a different offer, you know, of people coming in to try their different services or whatever. So get creative. A grand opening does not have to be some stuffy little, like, we cut the ribbon and, you know, whatever. Like, make it fun. What do you want people to experience in your restaurant or in your boutique or in your, you know, in your med spa, you know, make it something fun where it's a special or things like that. So the biggest thing to take away from your grand opening event, even if it's a week long, month long, whatever, the biggest thing I'll say to you is this: make sure you have some sort of strategy in place to collect the information of people who attend. So if they're coming into your candle pouring store, maybe have a little sign with a QR code that says scan here and when your next girl's candle pouring night together, you know, where you get to bring six of your friends, we treat you to champagne and you pour candles together. You know, you got to have something to collect their email addresses or text. You know, they need to be joining your text campaign. They need to be joining your loyalty program, whatever the case may be. I just need you to be prepared because I see so many people missing opportunities. They have a great grand opening event. All these people come out and they have no way to re-reach them. You know, like, so have something out to, and you got to incentivize people. People aren't just going to walk in and be like, hi, would you like my email address and my phone number to market to me? Of course not, y'all. You got to incentivize them. You got to do a giveaway or do a raffle that night or something that encourages people to join your text list, email list, whatever avenues you're going to market to them in the future. So don't miss out on that opportunity. So those are our five steps in the PR grand opening process: media relations, activations, influencers, friends and family, grand opening. Okay. But I, before we wrap it up, I do want to mention quickly that social media is such a key part to all of this. Obviously, like, think about everything I mentioned, okay? The media relations, once you get media coverage, you share that through social. Activations, you could go live during the activation, or you could have let somebody do a takeover during your activation. Like one of your influencers or media people, let them do a takeover during your activation, or have them snap photos and ask them to put it on their social media or ask them to write you reviews. Okay. So influencers, obviously, influencers play a huge role in social media. Friends and family, even at the Friends and Family Day, I would have something on the tables that says like, snap and share your photos using hashtag blah, blah, blah. And you're entered to win somebody's going to win a $50 gift card. You know, encourage them to put out user generated content through social media. Same thing with your grand opening day. Like you, like I said, like snap a code or something, share this on social media or check in on social media, depending on your platforms. So you see, with all five of my points, social media is a massive part. And honestly, I think that's why it's so powerful for us as an agency doing, we do the main things people come to us for: PR, social media, and then I would say third, email marketing. Okay. So all these kind of go hand in hand, you know? So yes, you can have a separate team doing your PR and a separate team doing their social, but you guys just need to make sure you're totally on the same page to come up with a fun, A, with all the PR aspects, making sure that's integrated into the social, but B, coming up with a fun social strategy to really get people excited. Tease people, do a countdown, whatever, show them photos or show it. If you're doing a renovation or if you're doing like a build out, like, God, people love watching things come to life. Like, tease people out. We had a really fun client. So years ago, we represented a boutique in Destin that had been around for, gosh, like 30 or 40 years. Longest standing boutique in the city of Destin. And they were actually getting ready to move from their location that they had been in for 20 years. So obviously everyone knew that spot was their boutique and they were getting ready to move. And it was kind of a big deal, right? 20 years in one spot. So, we tried, you know, they didn't really want to move, but we were like, we're making this a positive thing. We're going to make it a positive thing. So we started teasing it out to their followers of like, you know, the name of the boutique is Today's. Okay. So, we did a campaign that's like, here today, where tomorrow? Question mark. Like, here today, where tomorrow? And we were trying to get people to guess where they were moving. And we were like, 1 week till we make, you know, or like 2 weeks till we make the announcement, 1 week till we make the announcement. And we would drop little hints on social about the new location, almost like little riddles. And it was really well received. And then we made a big announcement. They went live showing their location and everything like that. And it made it a really fun splash. So we did not go live and announce the location until we had already sent out the media alert. Just FYI. But anyway, like, find a way to make it fun on social media. But end of discussion, social and PR people need to be either on the same team or on the same page for sure. So, okay, I hope this has been really helpful for y'all. We love doing grand openings. We're not really like party planners by any sense. we're like strategic event people, you know, like we always let our clients, somebody on their team is going to handle decor and like, you know, like centerpieces or, you know, that kind of thing. We get strategic on how to get visibility, how to get people to come out, and how to make sure we can reach them again. So again, we're not really party planners, but a lot of people come to us for their grand opening for the strategic side of everything. And we let them handle all the good fun details of like, you know, champagne and food and you know, that kind of thing. So awesome. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you have a grand opening coming up and you want to chat more, would love to hear from you. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Whitney Lee, or you can always find me on Instagram as well. Shoot me a DM. It's the Whitney Lee, T-H-E Whitney Lee. And you can always find True Story on all the social media platforms. So, all right, y'all, have a great week. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.